You mentioned was that the Yom Adin, Rosh Hashanah, the most important that really we have the true idea of God. I mean, all the Shiva and all the pillars, the question is not the correct notion of the Creator, for them, they're both the world. That's why, for God says, Dalek Namina to Enei, and that's why Dalek Namina says, Shomer, and he says, God, so they pray of Yisrael that day. Know the God of your fathers, and then serve him. So God says, God, the Ehu, first know him, the Akhachach of God. So that's something which I think very stress is supposed to come in that story. A lot of stress and a lot of mystery is supposed to come in the Shiver and Davening. And it's good, but the fact is that mystery should be also with regard to our being concerned about having the correct ideas of God and Rosh Hashanah, certainly. That's all they're looking to see, I mean, that the reason Joseph and Paulus Weller is all they're looking to see, because that's the fear that that is really talking to Faith Ola. So Faith Ola is what is up. So the whole trip is still set, and Paulus Weller is really to move into the whole trip. So that's what means all they're looking to see. That most important thing is to have the correct idea of what exactly is Rosh Hashanah. It's very interesting that Rosh Hashanah is not really mentioned too much in the Torah. It's a problem because the Torah does not say that it's Yom Adin. The Torah does not say that this is the day in which God judges the world. It doesn't say it's the day of creation. It doesn't say any of the things that we say in the Torah. All it says is in the Torah it says you have a choice. You have it once in Amar. It says that the prophet says Baba is in Amar Chaf Gimel Chaf Gimel. But Dalek, Dabar Nesel Yom HaBachodesh, Atzvi Be'echa Bachodesh, Yiyah Lachem Shabbaton. Yiyah Lachem Shabbaton, Zichron Tua Mitzvah. Zichron Tua. So, remembrance of Tua. And then, you have it again, once more, it mentions in Bamidbar, in Kinnachos, Parsha Kinnachos, there also it says, Parsha Kinnachos, V'chodesh Tashvi Be'echa V'chodesh, Miko Kodesh Yelachem, Kom Lechza Lecha Shuri, there's an Ishim Melacha, and then it says, Yom Tzu Yelachem. So all it says is, in Tavaz Lecha, and it just says, Yom Tzu, it's the day of the Tzu. So the question is, why does he come mention that Rosh Hashanah is in Yom Adin? And it's the day upon which God judges the world, and from the last time, Yom Kippur, a person should be close to the truth. The Torah doesn't mention anything about it. Just as Yom Kippur says, it's time to Kippur. The last time it doesn't mention about it. So that's the question. The Ramban discussed with his sister Ramban, and his dresser for the Rosh Hashanah, but he doesn't really answer this question directly. He just says, that we know that it's Yom Adin from the Torah and Kabbalah, and people that really know Kabbalah, and he says, I can't talk about it now, I'll talk about this in front of people. Interesting, huh? He says, and even in front of individuals, you really have to be careful what you say, that there are deep ideas here, and that you need to adapt. So, I mean, the question is the same thing. Why didn't the Torah tell us that it's a Rosh Hashanah, it's really Yom Adin? Okay. So, that's one question. The next question is a rather simple question, and that is that we know we have 2 days left to come now. Because the Torah says we have 2 days left to come. 1 day. And originally it was 1 day left to come. But now it's 2 days. So the question is, does that mean that God judged the world originally 1 day? And now he judges 2 days, and then it sounds funny. I mean, the second day is Rabban. The second day is Rabban. But the 7 days you're better, for the Chachamim has a right to make an Isser Malach on the 7 days. But the first day is the only Rosh Hashanah, not the 7 days. So how can you say in the first on the second day that God is judging the world? If it were a state of the Yama, if it's state of the Yama, so the concept over there is that all of the Yama children, you don't know. So you say, okay, you don't know. So this is a period as if it is the real death, not concept we have. But Rosh Hashanah, no one says it's state of the Yama. It's not a question of not a question of which day it's Rosh Hashanah. Not a question of which. But it was a special tachana, very complicated tachana, that created the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But basically, the second day is an extension of the first day. That's what it means. What does it mean by Yom HaRoshah? I just want to explain what it means by Yom HaRoshah. Everybody gets confused. It says Yom HaRoshah, a long day. And then some people like to ask on the garden fire chakras, which is Yom HaRoshah. You know what I mean? Which is just garden one chakra, and then maybe the next day garden one chakra, and now it's so people get very confused by Yom HaRoshah. Yom HaRichter is really not a mystery. Yom HaRichter is a technical term. What it means, all it means is a halachic term. It doesn't really mean a long day, okay? Because again, no matter how long it is, it doesn't have two sunrises and two sunsets, okay? What it means is that the Chachamim has to have a mechanism through which they can introduce halachic changes. You have a right to introduce halachic changes, but it has to work with a certain mechanism. It has to be within a certain framework, okay? They can't just introduce anything they want. So one framework, they could use a suffix. There is a concept of suffix, so they could use that framework. There's a suffix, and therefore we say that because the suffix has to keep both ways, they're going to come up there. That's one more concept. But Yom HaRichter is the second type of is another concept. It means that the Chachamim is going to extend our luck of reality. So we could take a day and give it an extension. So the span of time of the original Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. They could say it spans over 2 days. They have a right to do that. Yom HaRichter is just a technical term. It doesn't really mean a long day. It means it's an extension process. That's one of the methods that the Chachamim can use. They use it in a lot of areas. Like, for instance, you say that really, according to the Torah, the only basar, if you say basar, is really an animal, or a behemoth. Okay, it means cattle, sheep, goats, but not fowl, and not bird. Okay, so really, according to the Torah, a bird is not butter. So really, according to the Torah, Lord, you can cook chicken and milk, no problem. But the Chacham extend the concept, and extend it. Now they take the term basar and they extend it. So the Chum has a right to it. Many, many of the Chum do it. So when you say Yom HaRichter, it doesn't even mean a long day. It's not a descriptive term. It's a term that is a halachic, mechanistic term. Okay? So I just wanted to clear that up.
Does that explain why you have to change from Machana to another?
Yes, that's correct. That's why. That's exactly what it means. It means Yom Tov Sheni and Rosh Hashanah, you can't treat like Yom Tov Sheni and other Yom Tov. Basically, the only difference between Yom Tov Sheni and Yom Tov Rishon, ordinarily the most essential difference, and there are two different questions as far as course and mace, but practically the difference is insofar as medicine is concerned, medication. Can't take medication on Yom Tov, but the second day Yom Tov you can take it on. But on Rosh Hashanah you don't say that because it's not a sveka de yoma, it's an extension. So an extension has to partake of the same quality. And that's the basic idea. Then there are other halachas which have to be sveka de yoma, which have to be intrinsically the idea of a suffix, like Eruv, and things like that. Here, Erev Tashim, you have to make Erev Tashim on Wednesday. You can't do it on Thursday anymore, because it's not a sveka de yoma. Whereas the following week, the 2 weeks later, you can do it, because it's a sveka de yoma, it's a suffix. So, but that's because of the concept of suffix. But at any rate, the term of Yom HaRichter is halacha time. So you have to be familiar with halacha categories. Now, but getting back to the other question, doesn't answer the other question. Now, how could it be? It could be it's an extension, but still it's Rabbanan. So the real day that it writes it is only the first day. So fine. So the Chacham can extend it insofar as creating Isser Malach. But how could you be misfiled the second day
that God is judging you. You know, all your tefillos, you're being misfollowed for a good judgment. Zohar Bris and Tzkab Shofar, all those tefillos, as if this is all the Nisana Tok, if you say the second day, just like the first day. How can you say that? If that's not really happening, if that's not really happening, so how can you do it? And then it would be tefillos shah. The worst thing is to say lies.
Okay.
So that's
the
second question. Apparently, otherwise it's not happening any day, so you wouldn't say at all. Well, I mean, if you're going to get into that, so then I say there's no such thing as judgment. Yeah. So the... yes, what? Yeah, but it's different because Rosh Hashanah is different than Aseret Me'atzuva. See, and Rosh Hashanah is the what is it? What is it? Rosh Hashanah, the tzaddikim on Achtanu La'alta L'chaim. Okay, that and Rosh Hashanah is the Mesa, and the Beinim is Tola. But the din of Rosh Hashanah is a unique kind of a din, and the din that there's no Malki Sechonos Yishofros on the second day. Those tefillos would not apply. Would not be applicable. I mean, the Gzardin on the first day is a totally different Gzardin. I mean, the Sana Tokef would be false. Mm-hmm. Other tefillos would simply Zayom Tefillos Masecha, you say it the second day too. Ayom Al Asalam, and all those tefillos are all exactly the same. These are today Ayom Yamei B'Mishpach Hashoah. All those things is the din of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a unique din. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, it says it's Tov. The person has a chance to be Jew, but it's not Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin is either Rosh Hashanah, or the final Chasimah is Yom Kippur. Or the insofar as being the person being told. But there's no Yom HaDin. The second day of Aseret Me'atzuva is not a Yom HaDin. It's not a Yom HaDin at all.
The Chum can't decree that God be judged another day.
Right.
Where they
made,
where one of the Tanaim had a different
Kippur
than the Sanhedrin.
Right.
So it ended up that the way the Sanhedrin made
the Kippur was the Sanhedrin. Well, that's correct. But that doesn't answer his question. The Sanhedrin have a right to make it. The Sanhedrin have a right to determine when the Kippur is. And the way they determine, that's the reality of it. But the point is they can't make things on Kippur. They can't change the reality of God's judgment. Okay. So that's the second question. Now, what I wanted to say was that it's extremely important to have a correct notion when we speak about God. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that Milchus Tshuvos, the Rambam states that the shofar, even though the shofar is a technical mitzvah. But he says, nevertheless, there is a concept which is associated with it, intrinsically. And that concept is the idea that a person should be chozer b'tshuva. And that's the Rambam is in Perek Gimel Melechos Tshuva, is Halacha Dalet, where he says, even though it's a geres hakasev, which means it's a technical halacha, but remez yesh bo, there is a hint or an idea that is associated with it. Kloma, it means to say, you should investigate your actions and be involved in a process of introspection, and you should be close with tshuva. V'zichru bar echem, and remember, v'zichru bar echem, remember your Creator. Elu ashochem asemes ba'avay asman v'shogim kol shnosam ba'avol v'olik asher lo v'lo yatsim. Okay. So the Rambam says that the shofar really is something which brings to mind the person because of tshuva, but he says zichru barachem, you have to remember your Creator. So apparently the idea of the Creator is the central theme. I mean, because of tshuva and zichru barachem. So therefore, a person must know must know, must have an accurate idea, correct notion about who, what means by the Creator. So I mentioned that the Stephen Weinberg is a Nobel Prize physicist and talks about God. So he says that for him the only meaning of God would be God is a personal God. God intervenes in the laws of nature for the benefit of a person or mankind or in some way. Otherwise, he says the notion of God has no meaning. So he argues, he says, so what does it mean more than the fact that there is an order and a harmony? Because all of science is based on that assumption. There's no order, there's no harmony, there's nothing to study anymore. But science is based on the assumption that there is some kind of an intellectual harmony. Harmony which is of an intellectual nature can be grasped by the mind, and the mind is a tool which will be able to unravel it, and that's why you spend time thinking about it. If you know that premise, there's nothing to think about. So he says, but why do I need more than that? All I have to do is say there's an order. And he says, and I don't understand what when Einstein says there's a God, he says to me that this means there's an order, and there's nothing more than that. So we have to, as I said in the yeshiva, I said I wouldn't suggest that people are ready to investigate, you know, the existence of God, proofs, because that requires a high level of intellectual development and a high level of knowledge of Torah and of philosophy and other areas. But everybody's not capable of doing that. But certainly everyone should have the correct notion of what we mean by God. I mean, that's certainly something. If you don't have that, then what are other people fight for? I mean, that was no battle. So that's something which everyone should be concerned about. And you may not be able to do battle with not the courage, but you have to know what you mean. There's no excuse not to understand what you're talking about. I mean, God may be unknowable, but it shouldn't be unknowable what your idea of God is. Then that's just confusion. So the idea of God is unknowable. But the point is that it shouldn't be, your understanding shouldn't be unknowable. Then you have no understanding. And most people, I think, just feel that it's not necessary and just go on with the davening. So I thought that his question was a good platform upon which to get an answer. So, first of all, what Yehuda says is, of course there's an order. There's no question about that. There's an order, there's a beauty, there's a harmony, that's true. Mm-hmm. But we say that there is a source of this harmony and so on. Okay. And we say this source is the Chai Olam, the living God. So we believe in the living God, and the other nations believe in dead gods. Because dead, because they're non-existent, basically. So what do we mean by the living God? I mean, Chai Olam, the life of the universe. So what does it mean? So life, I mean, as we know, is a biological phenomenon. Obviously, you can't apply the idea of life to God. Our idea of life is a very controlled biological process, part of a larger process, but it's a temporary state, and it's a biological phenomenon, inapplicable to the, inapplicable to the Creator. So what do we mean when we say life, that God is a high element? So I said it this way. If you take a look at the Rambam, and I did this Rambam here. So in the very beginning of the Rambam, so he says, Yisodos Rambam HaChachmos Leida Sheyesham Matzui Rishon V'hu Mamtzi Kol Nimtzof. In other words, what we're saying is we ascribe life to God in the sense that he is the Mamtzi Kol Nimtzof. He's the one that is the source, the cause of all existence. Cause of all existence. Okay, he is uncaused. Nothing caused him or causes him or affects him. But he is the primary Matzah Rishon. He's a primary existence. And he is the cause of all existence. So when you see life, the difference in life, the animate and inanimate, is that the animate has motion, moves in some sense. I mean, it moves itself. You see, an animal moves itself, propels itself along. A rock can't propel itself. So life, when we say life, the idea of a self-moving object comes to mind. Okay, motion, in some sense. So in that sense, we ascribe life to God. Not in any sense that we're familiar with, but in the concept, in the abstract notion, that God is the Mantzikomensa. He is what the philosophers said, the primal. Philosophers said, right, primal. That's the idea. That's the idea of God. Mantzikomensa, the source of all existence. So therefore, I suggested that when a person says Kriyat Shema, and you say Shema Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, so some say that you should have in mind that He is the eternal one, or Yehovah the Yehovah. But I believe the Rambam held that that's not enough. Because the Rambam uses that very same pasuk when he talks about, first he talks about God, and then he says, this God is one, and not more than one, and cannot be broken up into components, etc. And he says, and that's what we mean. When we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, we mean this God is one, okay? He's not subject, basically, to the laws of quantity, or to the concepts of quantity. So he identifies as that is the God that he's talking about. So therefore, it would seem from the Rambam at least, that when a person says the Kriya Shema, they have to have that idea in mind. He is the source of all existence. That's the concept. If you don't have that idea in mind, you would see the point of the Rambam, that you wouldn't really fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That's the first person you have to have on it. You have to know what it's saying. So therefore, I think it's extremely important for a person before they enter Yom Kippur to have an idea of the Creator, and of course to know, as the Rambam says, that there never is any change in God. So this being the case, the question arises: what does the Rambam say? For instance, the Rambam says that a person should do tshuva. Tshuva is much more beneficial during the during this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He says that in Perek Beis. He says that after she tshuva atzaka yafal olam, it's always good. Basar hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah yom kippur miyafal biyosa miskabalsi miyat shenema dirshu Hashem bimatzah. You should search for God when he's available, so to speak. When he's close to you. That's only privately. But a tzibur calls man she'osim tshuva tzokim b'lev shalem. If they do tshuva and they cry out with a complete sincere heart, hey nenim shenem ha'kadoshim alakinim b'chol karim alav. Okay. So the question is, what does it mean, Dish Hashem b'matzo? God is more available now and less available at another time. So he's closer now, and then he moves away from us. Now, what the Rambam means is that, you see, tshuva really is a mitzvah that a person should do all the time. It's part of the growth process of the human personality. It's not like Gary and Lav will think a type of a confession or some type of a guilt trip. There's nothing to do with that. There's an early notion. Our idea of tshuva is ain't tzadik bas yastov lo yachta. Even a tzadik, he sings during the daytime, but then when he gets home and he thinks about it, he does tshuva. So tshuva is part of a growth, ongoing growth process. Okay. But the fact is that the human personality is such that anything which is common and which is done on a daily basis loses its significance. It cannot be highlighted every day. So Yahadah saw fit to take an aspect of life, which is really the most important, which is tshuva, and to ascribe a time to it, okay? Give it a certain time where a person must concentrate on that particular process. And that is between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, okay? Now, what the Torah is saying is, the Yahadah is saying is, that if people do that, you see, so then, and the society does it, so it affects everybody in the society. And it places them in a totally different, on a totally different plane. Because of that, God is who is a Merachim, who is the Ava Rachamim. So therefore, when God judges a person, he judges a person in the most opportune moment for the person. So when is the most opportune moment for the person? And a person is dedicated in himself and is engaged in the process of repentance and the process of tshuva. So it is the person's state which actually brings about the fact that there is a difference between Aseres and Yetshuva and between the rest of the year. Okay? It's the change in the person. And I think that's exactly why the Torah never described Rosh Hashanah. If the Torah would have described Rosh Hashanah, people would walk away with false notions, false ideas, and it would be the worst disaster. Because people would think that the first day of the year, now God gets ready and judges the world, because now it's the first day. But God is outside the realm of time. And anyone who thinks that God is affected by time is not the case, basically. The person that comes to Shul and Rosh Hashanah and has an idea that today God decides to judge the world because he's involved in the realm of time, and then it's the first day of the year. That's up to Christmas. The Torah avoided putting any type of description to the Yom HaDin because it knew that that's the most dangerous thing. It left it closed. It only said one thing. It said Yom Tshuva Yelachem. Yom Tshuva Yelachem. Which means this is a time when you should be involved in tshuva, in the ideas of the Kol Shofar. And if you're involved in if it's a Yom Tshuva for you, then that's why it's a day of judgment. It's a Yom HaDin. Because of the Kedushas HaYom, you see, because the person is involved in the ideas of the Torah, because of the mitzvah, that's why it's the Yom HaDin, because that makes it a special day where God judges man, because God, in his infinite chesed, judges a person in the most opportune time for the person. And the Yom Tshuva is what brings it about. And that's why the din is on that day. You see? It's not the din is on that day because of God. The din is on that day because of man. And that's why, what Jesse mentioned, I mean, the fact is, you see, the Beis Din really is called Ve'ah the Chodesh. So Beis Din depends on Rosh Hashanah. Beis Din depends on God's supposed to judge. I mean, that's crazy. Beis Din only determines the Kedushas HaYom. God judges man when man is involved in this type of Kedushas HaYom. So that's why, even though the Halacha and the Rabbanan is, that's why the Torah is not mentioned. See, the Ramban says there are many deep ideas here, and the Torah saw fit to really to keep these ideas away from the masses. So they can't go into these ideas, because if the Torah would have expressed itself in any way, the masses would get a wrong idea. This way the masses just know one thing. Yom Tshuva, there's something here, something a mystery here. You have to go and learn what's going on from the Talmidei Chachamim. So this way the system is safeguarded and no false ideas is promulgated. But if the Torah would give a description, everybody would walk away with their own imagination. And imagination would be false, and therefore all the tools are worthless. So that's what Torah did. But once the Torah really said that the Yom Tshuva is really the day of judgment, so it means the Yom Tshuva Yelachem, because this is a day in which you are engaged in the whole world that produces a Yom. So then, if the Chachamim come along and extend it, an extension of the Chachamim is a legitimate extension, and it's recognized by the Torah. Because the Torah gave the Chum a right to use the halakhic mechanisms in various ways. Alpia Torah Sheirucha. And that's why, as Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that the Rabbanan is really a derisive. It's just the violation doesn't carry the same seriousness. Okay, but in, as a reality, it's the same reality, because the Torah said the Chum has a right to do it. So therefore, the fact that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days because Chacham is Chacham is a reality in terms of the Torah, the Derisa. And therefore, since the Chacham extended the period, so man is involved in the Kedushas HaYom for a longer time, so the judgment is longer. The judgment is longer.
Anybody have it?
It has to do with the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the only month that's the first day of the month. So the first day, so Eidim can come in on the day itself and say today's Rosh Hashanah. So what they used to do was they keep it Kodesh just in case they didn't come. You know, and the problem was that the problem was with the shear on the korban.
Yidden came very late, and the Migdash, they thought they're not coming anymore, so it really was full, and it really was Kodesh. So they said from now on, it's a very complicated, it's just a beginning. Because then why is it all that hard? Doesn't matter. By the way, insofar as 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, it's a makodes Rosh Hashanah. We possibly is 2 days, but the Balamor happens to only 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. That's 1 day. It's good to be in Chutz Lo'etz because in Eretz Yisrael we have makodes Rosh Hashanah. Okay. At any rate, yes. Now, the Malchus, the whole Malchus, which is Yehuda Kol Yotzer, Tiato Yetzarto, Yoma Kol Hashem Hashem, Hapa Hashem, Okay, so Malach Mufus Nova, and Kama Shola, that's the way the Malchus is going, and that's the whole concept of Yehadis. That's why Yehadis is totally differentiated itself from all the other religions, including today's religions I would say today's religions are more primitive philosophical than some of the ancient Avodah Zarah religions. So at any rate, what I wanted to say was, now that we have this introduction, so to speak, I would like to just speak briefly about the Kedushas Hayom, is what's responsible for the judgment. So I'd like to just speak briefly about the Kedushas Hayom. The Kedushas Hayom is really the Malchus of Chronos and Shofros. Okay, and where does the Malchus of Chronos and Shofros come from? So Rashi says that's what the Torah means by Zichron and Shofros. Zichron, a remembrance of Chura, which means the Malchus of Chronos and Shofros. Because Chazal say that Malchus is, that God says, Inu Lachonai Malchios, Shetamichuni Alechem, that God says, you should make me reign over you, be your king, and Zichronos, in order, Kadesh Yale Zichronechem Lachonai, that your remembrance should come forth before me. And it says, Bameh, with what? The Shofros. So the shofar is the instrument, the vehicle, you see, the vehicle of the zikar. Yeah. So the what I'd like to speak about a little is just the idea of the of shofars. It's very interesting. The idea of shofars, the concept of shofar, is really based on, can best be explained through raising a question from the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that there are certain sins that if a person does, and namely four, that they are so great that if a person engages in these sins, that God does not permit him to do tshuva. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally means Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik b'yado la'asos tshuva. God does not make it, does not give him the availability to do tshuva. And these four sins, it mentions the four, a person that's machtias a rabbin, that makes the general populace sin. Or a person that privately has a close friend that he incites to go against the Torah, or someone who sees their son going off on the wrong path and doesn't want to get in a fight with him, lets him go. And the fourth is the person that says, "I'll do averism, and Yom Kippur I'll do tshuva." Okay, but the Rambam says at the end, he says, even though afalpi. Says Kol Eilat Dvarim Gets When Afkish Shem Ma'akven Es Tshuva, even though that prevents tshuva, ain't monin asar. It doesn't really prevent it. It retards the process. I mean, it impedes. It impedes the tshuva, but it doesn't prevent the tshuva. Elaim asa adam tshuva mehen harezeh bal tshuva. The Yeshu Chal Ramabach. The person does tshuva from his sins, he still is bal tshuva. So the question is, what's the Lord's not mean? God doesn't give me he's not maspik b'yoda, doesn't give him the availability of tshuva, and yet it can be tshuva. I mean, can he? It's ma'akev. It wasn't ma'akev in Monea. I mean, what is the Rambam saying? So, what we wanted to say is like this, that what the Rambam means is that, see, there's a chazan that says that they asked the midas ha'emes. They asked the midas ha'emes, what is the fate of a person who's a chote, a sinner? The Midas HaEmes said, a nefesh ha-chataas tamas. The soul that sinned should die. And Midas HaRachamim said, no, that he should do tshuva. The tshuva has to do with Midas HaRachamim. So the question is, why should Emes really say that the person should die?
You know, perfect eschewed is a logical idea. It means if I sinned and I change my ways and I change my personality, I'm not the same at the wrong, I'm not the same personality I was before. So why should I be punished for something that I'm not? I mean, God just wants to punish me because of my history? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If the person is, if the person really is, really has changed, you see, so you should judge the person as the person is. So why did Emma say that the person that's in should die? Okay? So what I'm saying is that the Chazal tell us that the Yisod of Tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Hanasim. And the last Dibras. The last Aliyah, the last time that he went up Hanasim. And it came down with the Yisod of Tshuva. So apparently Tshuva is some mystery about Tshuva. The Yisod is a principle which is not something that on the surface you would at first sight be aware of. That's what the Yisod always means. So the Sora Tshuva means that there's something there, secret, means something that you don't at first sight see. So the Sora Tshuva is that our Kadosh Baruch Hu, see, Rami says, Ina Kadosh Baruch Hu must be together, doesn't make it available to him. It means that really there's always an ongoing process of Hashgacha. That God always does make it available for the Chote to sin. That's what Chazal say, why is it Hashem, Hashem? Hashem means, it says Hashem, Hashem before the Chote, and he's Hashem after the Chote. It means to say that when a person is a Chote, God doesn't simply remove himself from the individual. But on the contrary, that's what the person says, God waits for the person that sins until he dies. In Yashuv, the Navi says, in Yashuv, that God waits for him to do tshuva. What does it mean? What does it mean God waits for him to do tshuva? It means that God works out the events in his life that they should be of the type that will somehow or other signal the individual to do tshuva. If he has a sensitivity for it. If he listens for it, he looks for it. So really what God does is, God places the person, we all live in a sea of events, and the events that they place in our lives, we can either simply, put on blinders and not look at them, or we could study them from the standpoint of how they affect us and what message there is in these events in terms of perfecting ourselves. So what Chazal is saying is that God is constantly making it available for the Chote to do tshuva. But if a person does these four things, then God doesn't do anymore. No more of it. That's what he must speak in the Yoro Lasha. God does not give him availability. But the Rambam says if he does do tshuva, then he's 100% and he's a Ben Olam Haba. What does it mean? It means God does not go into his mind and stop his bechira. His free will is still intact. There's just no extraneous events are going to be placed before him that would cause him to be about you. But God does not prevent him psychologically. You see, he doesn't prevent him. Doesn't prevent his psyche, his soul, from doing tshuva. Okay. Not like Paro. Vayach Beres Libo. So since God doesn't even say, he can still pull himself up by his bootstraps and do tshuva, but that is a gargantuan feat. Very few people that went through this world did such a thing. Most people, as they, like, if they have a tzlacha and keep going, they're not going to stop dead in their tracks and so one day wake up and say, there were people like that. Very rare. Very rare. That's what the Rambam says. So what the Rambam means is that God, through his hashgacha, you see, follows the Chote and gives him opportunities to be a shah. Okay? Unless he engages in these four Chatoim, then he doesn't. Okay? Yes. No, that's a good question. It means God does not... I'll show you why I said that. The question was raised, is it anything or these four? It seems to be anything. I'll tell you what I think about it. But anyway... So the concept is like this. The concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really the idea of Hashgacha. Mm-hmm. That's really the idea of Hashgacha. And that's an interesting thing.
On Rosh Hashanah, we say in the Tfilis, in Zechronos, we say, Zeh Hayom Tfilis Masecha. This is the day of the first day of your handiwork, meaning the first day of creation. And also, we have to show up and say, Hayom HaRasalam. Okay. Today means today the world was created. So the question is, why do you say that that Rav Ozni, why do you say Rosh Hashanah is the first day of creation? So the Gemara says, because we hold like Rav Elazar, and our focus was the world created in Tishrei, or was it Nisan? So we are like Rav Elazar, it was created in Tishrei, so we say Hayom HaRasalam. But everything, like everything else in Chazal, when you look at it a little more carefully, it just doesn't fit into what you think we're saying. But the truth of the matter is that they say, there's some Pirkei Rav Elazar. And Rav Elazar said, he didn't say the first day of creation was Rosh Hashanah. No, he said Rosh Hashanah was the day of the sixth day of creation. The day that man was created. It's not the day of the Big Bang. Okay? So it's a little different. And then already you see there's something's going on. It's not, you know, so what does it mean? It happened to be the sixth day, and it sounds like a funny kind of day. But and then there's another problem. The problem is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's missing part of his tefillah. Because if he's supposed to say, Zayon Kriyas Masecha, that's an integral part of davening, so what did Rabbi Yeshua do? I mean, he held it with the war was created in Nisan. Alright? Maybe a missing part of his tefillah. So, and if it's not integral, so why are you saying it for anyways? You know, well, who cares his day of creation? So what? So, I believe the answer is as follows. The concept of shofar is the concept of God's revelation. God's revelation. And the truth of the matter is that Yahadus holds a very strange shita that no one else even thought of, basically. And that is that the ultimate revelation is the creation. The Bria itself is the ultimate revelation. The Bria is God revealing himself. But when did God reveal himself? When? Exactly. Because revelation means to someone. He has to be recipient of the revelation. Okay? You can't, there's no revelation if there's no one to receive that which is revealed. So that was the sixth day. You see. That was on the sixth day. That's why you say, Adon Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nevo. God existed before man. Okay, Leis Nasa B'Chetzo Kol, when the world was created, Azay Melech Shema Nikra, then he had the appellation of Melech. Whose man then said, God is the Melech. Okay. But it's always the same, it doesn't change. Okay. It's just visiting man. So therefore, what Yahadis holds is that the real revelation is the Bria. And Yahadis went so far, Chazal went so far with that idea, that they basically wiped out miracles. Because they said that miracles were all from Sheshit and Eberechus. The strangest thing. I mean, anyone that wants to get people to believe in religious ideas, the first thing they tell them is miracles. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It was a miracle. Because man finds himself in a state where they'd like things to be different than they are. So they're looking for a miracle. Okay? And Yahadus really put itself in a position where any kind of popularity is removed from the system because it doesn't appeal to a religious person. Because Yahadus says, no, all these miracles really were implanted in the creation, the first moment of creation, all these things were programmed in. Okay? So why does the others have to say that more? Why? And what happens with the other one? And the answer is because Yahadus maintained that if miracle would be a real change, that means God would be taken away from the real revelation. The real revelation is the Bria. That's the real revelation. And the miracle is just us. Well, all the miracle does is it points your, gives you direction, look for the real revelation, which is the creation. The creation was the real revelation. When did God reveal himself? The moment he gave man at Tzelem Elokim that he can perceive the Chochmas Hashem, he can perceive the order that the scientist based his whole science on, was man was able to get insight, be in a position where he could avail himself of the science. So that's why Hada said, really, there's not, a miracle would be improper. That would mean that God would be giving more importance to a transient event than to the whole creation. So therefore, that takes away from the whole, our whole idea of God. See, the whole idea of God is that His infinite chachmas are a permanent nature, and therefore, on the contrary, the greatness of the Creator is that everything was pre-programmed into the creation. Many events that took place in history were really basically from the moment of creation. It's an interesting thing. It's interesting. That's clear. So that's what Chazal held. So it's counter religious intuition. Exactly the opposite. So yes. See, a miracle would mean that God is fighting, changing the laws of nature. So now He's going against His whole creation. Okay. And now this man thinks He doesn't do that. So I had His miracles take place. He adjusted the creation process so that certain things should take place a certain way. It was programmed into the thing, into the whole system. Okay. So the Rambam talks about it in a slightly different position, but basically that's really the approach of that. Okay. But at any rate, as a matter of fact, even though it's pre-programmed, it's still considered. A lowering insofar as God is concerned. Because Chazal say, for a raid latzilo mi ad mitzvah. It means that it was yiridoy lo. Because you had to make a change. And if it weren't for that, they wouldn't do that. It would be different. So it was an adjustment. Even the adjustment is considered somewhat of a lessening, a lowering of the Bria, of the creation. So really, okay. So the truth of the matter is that Shofros, what is Shofros? Shofros is Gilui Shechina, Atan Aglaiso, Banan Klodecha Al Arsina. That's the third, the third bracha. That was the Malchios, and we're referring to Shofros. So Malchios really is recognition of God because of the creation. I don't know Hashem Malach, but Teren Kol Yitzir Nivra, Leis Nasa Lechatzah Kol Azay Melach Shemone. That means that's a double law, that's a creation. Okay. And the Malchus is really the ultimate goal, actually, that's what it means. It means Imra Lafonai Malchus. Why Shetala Zichonechem Lafonai? But Bameh? The shofar. The shofar is a vehicle. Why? Because the shofar really, what does the shofar do? The shofar shows revelation. Because Gilu Shechina, where is the, so it takes the greatest, that's why Maamar HaSinai is on Rosh Hashanah. Why is Maamar HaSinai on Rosh Hashanah? It's Shavuos. But the answer is because if you're using an instance of God's chesed in terms of revealing himself to us in order to be malamed us, in order to teach us, and that's what it says really, if you're looking at Tila, you guys want to, La'am Kajal, Dabri Meshmayim, Shvatam Kol Lecha, every word in the tefillah is very carefully chosen because the Nevi'im really were involved in formulating the tefillah. Why? That was Chesed Hashem to teach us, to instruct us. So you take the greatest instance of revelation and the most potent force in terms of God's chesed in extending his chesed and being a malame, being a teacher of Klal Yisrael. And that was that's the event at the Sinai. So that's shofar. That's shofar. So shofar, really, that's the same idea as mentioned before. That God did that. God did that in splendorous fashion in terms of our Sinai, but for every yochid his ashgacha extends to every yochid, and maybe it's not a Maamar HaSinai event, but it's part of the concept of ashgacha. So the part of the concept of ashgacha is that's the idea of the shofar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu
reaches man, you see, that's his midas hara, what we refer to as the attribute of rachamim. He has no attributes, but we refer to it that way because it's for us, it's an easy kind of a reference. But what it means is that is midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he actually, even if it means changing something in the programming of the universe in order that man should be able to avail himself of Chachma, so he does that. So he also changes the events in an individual's life in order that the person should be able to be a shofar. So that's one aspect of that is one aspect of the shofar. The other aspect of the shofar is that the shofar is a crying sound. Crying sound implies tshuva. As the Rambam says, that the person does tshuva, he's boche, the person that really understands what chayit is, so he sees how far he's deviated, is the worst tragedy, to realize the state of the soul. So it's worse than even if a person were to chalila have a serious physical illness. So it requires bechi. That's the kol shofar. So the kol shofar really has both aspects of tshuva. One is insofar as the sound, hiyata shomea kol shofar mazin tshuva v'ein damalach. That means that God listens to the baal tshuva, you see. But also shofar means that God moves towards the chote and assists him and places before him situations that he can exercise his bechira in terms of being a shav and being a baal tshuva, you see. So both aspects of tshuva, which is insofar as God is concerned and insofar as man is concerned, is expressed in shofar. That's why it says imru l'fole malchio shetam lechuni alechem kidei sheyala zechronechem afanai ubameh b'shofar. The shofar is the vehicle, but the vehicle really always goes back to the original process, which is the central. What is the word original process? Malchus. Malchus is the creation. Malchus is the creation. It's the revelation through the creation. The Ada called Paul Kiata Fiata, the other called Yotza Kiata Yitzarta. That's the real revelation. The real revelation is through the creation itself. But man is like the Rambam says, man is sleeping, man sleeps. You know, he's involved in Shimon Tardemo, he doesn't see it. So the revelation simply affects him in a way that it wakes him up. You see, the kol shofar chozak meod by Mamad HaSinai, the kol shofar wakes him up, and it causes him to look. And when he starts studying the proper area in the proper manner, and he sees the creation, that's when the Gilui Shechina really takes place. That's what Chazal says. Yimel Chaim Malchish Tam Lechun Alechem. But Bameh, the Shofar. That's the concept of the Shofar. There are many ideas of Shofar. Many ideas of Shofar. Maybe one time I'll give a shir and bring it together all the way through. But Shofar is a mitzvah that the Torah really went out of its usual way in mitzvahs, because a mitzvah usually is a technical performance. But shofar, for instance, a shofar must be kofar. And the Rambam holds that if it's not kofar, you're not yotzei. So the idea of kofar is that a person in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be in a state of humility. Okay? In a state of self-insignificance. And that's why the shofar must be kofar. Very strange. Usually mitzvahs, you know, don't reflect such concepts. And the shofar is akedas yitzchak. You see, usually a technical performance doesn't really involve direct association with certain philosophical ideas. But this mitzvah is different. This mitzvah really is different. The mitzvah of shofar is unique. And the reason is because shofar, if Yom Tshuva Yelachem, the Kedushas Yom is wrapped up in the shofar. This Yom is up in the shofar. It's an interesting thing. Rashi says on Zichron Tshuva, Rashi says Zichron Tshuva, he says on Shabbos. Is that right? Or the Chazal says that Zichron Tshuva is on Shabbos. Yes, so they ask the question, say, how could the How would it be possible? How could it be possible? The Torah is saying different shiur on Shabbos, but the Chachamim were the ones that said that you can't blow shiur on Shabbos. And the Raisi can blow shiur on Shabbos. But I think what Chazal is saying is that the Zichron Shiur means if there were no way, if there were no method through which you could make a legitimate reference to shofar, then they couldn't have abolished the shofar. Because the whole Kedushas Hayom is wrapped up in shofar. So that's why Chazal says that Zichron Shua is that even though you don't have the actual shofar, but since the shofar is a type of a mitzvah which has to do with ideas, so the Zichron Shua is the kingdom. I don't think Chazal meant that that's really what the Pasuk means, but they meant from the term in the Pasuk you could see that the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Shua will not be totally obliterated as long as you have the Malchus, Secharis, and Shofar. Okay? That's what the Rav said, that Shofar really is Tefillah. Because you say, Kiyata Shemeh Kol Shofar, Mazin Shulein Gamalach. So you see that Shofar is an unusual kind of mitzvah. So, okay, let me just get back to this Rambam first. The Rambam says that these four Chatoyim are such that anyone that does them, God does not give him the situation that will make it available, the availability of children. Okay. Why these four? So what we said was that you see, ordinarily, what the Chazal say that ordinarily when a person sins, everybody's a chavre. Ain't tzaddik b'as yas tov le'yach tov. There's no sin that tzaddik does not a chavre. So because the instinctual is part of our nature, and it's constantly active. And especially in social situations, so a person's always a chotah. That's a lashon hara, so difficult to avoid. But the point is, Chazal say that a person on Yom HaDin, on the ultimate Yom HaDin before God, so Chazal say that if a person would be honest and say to God, look, the Yetzirah was too powerful. I was wrong, but I couldn't help myself. Chazal say, God would say, Papa. he meant to say it. Can't just say it. But so the concept of being a chote doesn't necessarily mean the person is lost. I mean, because it's an interesting thing. These four chatoyim, it says akven teshuva, right? What about gila reish v'chazdom and avodah zarah? That's one of the funny things. It seems that it does mention it. I think that would be the worst, right? But that's the famous story of David HaMelech, that they taunted David HaMelech and they said, David HaBoleh Shesish Misaso B'ma. He said, yeah, you're right, Misaso B'chanek, Yesh L'chanek B'ma. But Ma'ab Nechrev Rabim Ein L'chanek B'ma. So you see, you can't just measure the severity of an Avera by the Amish. Okay, but not such a simple matter. But why are these four unique? I think the reason why they're unique is that ordinarily, like I said, even if a person should do a terrible sin, a passionate Avera, Ashish, Ish, Arias, whatever. But there's always the excuse that the passion overpowered him. I mean, he was caught. The instincts are very powerful. But if a person is machtias a rabbin, it means he's not doing the chait. But this is already a systematized kind of a... what he's doing is, he's creating, he's taking a whole society and misleading them. That means you can't say that he just lost it, you know what I mean, in the passion of the moment. It means that this person has no idea what fate really is. So the concept of these four, that's why if you look at the four, you'll see each one of them shows you one thing, that the person does not have a proper understanding of what evil is, what fate is. That's the first one, Machias and Rabban. The first one is almost the same. Second one is where a person has a close friend that he really is loyal to, and this person he misleads. So how can you do that with someone that's there's a certain, in other words, the reason why there are four different chatoyim is not because of the first three are practically the same, but they're different situations. In other words, if you're machtias a rabbin, that means you can't know what evil is, because how could you mislead such a group of people? I mean, it means the degree of the avera is such that it reflects on the doer. And the same thing is true if it's one person, but he's your best friend. I mean, you really value this person. So how can you lead them into chayt? It means you have no concept of what chayt is. And the third one is with a person's son, that they see their son and they don't want to get into a conflict with the son. Okay, it's difficult to get into a conflict, but if you really know what chayt was, how can you let them do this? They're losing their life. You see? And the fourth one is, again, a misconception. A childish misconception. That I'll do the sin, and I'll kip out the children. You know? It means the person doesn't know what a chayt is. So therefore, the concept of being close to God, again, is not from God's standpoint, it's from our standpoint. But a person is distant from God insofar as they have erroneous notions. An erroneous idea of chayt makes a person distant from God in that realm, and therefore, God cannot relate to him, and the Ashgacha simply does not exist in that realm. That's why I said the person is completely remote. Okay. Whereas the concept of the Ashgacha is with the person constantly to lead him and guide him back to. By the way, tshuva is a question of why tshuva is called returning. What do you mean returning? No one's born a tzaddik. The Rambam says that that to be born a tzaddik would be like saying somebody's born a carpenter. Can't be, because it requires a lot of skill and a lot of work. So what does it mean returning? Where's he returning? Maybe the person that was that. What it means is, what the concept of tshuva means that, see, return could be a historical path that you're tracing, or return could be a logical path, which means to say like this, that the instincts take a person and throw them into a different reality. The old reality changes. And then they start operating and tell me in a false reality. So return means to return, come out of that, return from that reality, the false reality that you're in. When you return from the false reality, then you're in the true reality. Because we all start off in the true reality. We don't, there is no, when we start, it's a blank sheet. I mean, so you're in reality in some minute degree. I mean, there's nothing false yet. Once the person starts following the instincts and starts creating a world that doesn't exist and lives in that world, they have to return from the reality which they created. So, Shuv Yisrael, Adar Hashem Lekecha. Okay? That's what it means. Shuv Yisrael means return from reality and then Adar Hashem Lekecha. Then, once you do that, then you start the path towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first process is the process of return from the world that you created. So, you remove yourself from that world, because that's the false world. And then it's Adar Hashem Lekecha. So insofar as a person has false notions, a person is removed from God. And if he's involved in Yisroch HaTayim, the degree of the error which his soul embodies is such that God can't relate to him. So there can't be any availability. But did God change his bechira, interfere with the process of bechira? No. That he doesn't do. Unless a person is an extreme rasha like a Paro. But otherwise he's able to do tshuva in spite of the fact that he is so far gone in terms of his chatar. There was one more thing that we mentioned. Somebody asked me about the Zichronos and the Akedas Yitzchak. Why the significance of the shofar of Akedas Yitzchak? So Akedas Yitzchak is Akedas Yitzchak. First of all, it's interesting to notice that the pasuk says in Dvarim that you shouldn't learn what these nations do, the abominations of these nations. And the Torah says, how terrible are their deeds, their actions? So the Torah says, even their sons and their daughters, they burn up with fire, consume the fire for their gods. So that's Kasha, what do I care? Is this exactly what God commanded Aram? Right? So the answer is that what the Torah means, again, is that what is an abomination? An abomination is a false notion concerning the Creator. That's an abomination. Abomination has nothing to do with disgust. Now, I said somebody one time about an article when it came to homosexuality, so the Torah used it to label, so they said it's disgusting.
But the Torah uses that. The Torah uses that in many instances, essentially by Avodah Zarah, but it uses it by injustice as well. It says in Moses Netzedek, if a person is selling something as false weights, he cheats. So it says that's Tov Asashon Kolosei Elokolosei Olam. So the word abomination does not have to do, doesn't mean something which causes a reaction in a person of disgust. There's nothing about that. It's philosophically disgusting. But what it means is as follows. It means that why does the primitive man sacrifice a human being? The reason is because, if you ever read any literature about it, it's because the idea is that they're appeasing the gods. They're appeasing the gods. So they have an idea of a god that is in need, you see, and wants appeasement. And the human sacrifice, their children, that's the greatest thing they can do to appease the God. So the Torah says such an idea is an abomination. It's exactly the opposite, the true idea of the Creator. That's the idea of the Creator. God doesn't need anything. Doesn't need us. I don't know why Hashem Allah for Torah calls you an Israel. And this is a totally distorted notion. That's why it's an abomination. But when Avram Avinu went to be mocked of Yitzchak, it wasn't because he thought that Yitzchak is going to God needs Yitzchak. He knew the reason was, on the contrary, to demonstrate to the world that the reason why he has his system of ideas is not because he didn't have the character or the strength to be religious in the sense that society, the demands of the religion. Because there were people that said, sure, Avraham Avinu tells you that God doesn't need you. He tells you that because he can't do it. He's too weak. He's not able to doesn't have the character to carry out the demands of the religion. So it's a cop out basically. So that's what Torah says. That ati adati ki reil kimata lochasachtos bincha sechit chomeni. So Avraham Avinu showed the world that no, he can do it too. He can do it too. But his idea was not because God needs it. His idea was because this is tikkun olam, to kiddush and shemayim, because a person has a responsibility to the brios, to demonstrate its true ideas. That's a different thing. That really is the idea of the akedah. But why do we mention the akedah? Mention the akedah for an important reason, because in Dvarim there are conflicting psukim. In certain psukim it says that Moshe Rabbeinu gives Musa, so he says, because so you're nothing, and he says, "Lo, lo, lo, me rukhem mikol amim." It's not because you're a great nation in numbers, okay? Kiam she orafata, you know, because you're a stiff-necked nation. But what does he say? He says that why? Then another place says, "Ki me avas Hashem eschem." So it's a contradiction. What does it mean? It means like this: "Ki me avas Hashem eschem mishomor seshvur she nishbal avasechem." It means to say that if you think that you have any inherent value because yourself making a mistake, it's only because of the others. If the others didn't exist, they'd be not. So it means when a person comes before God on Rosh Hashanah and places a petition before the Creator, it has to be based on the person's realistic standing. So that's why we ask God to remember the Akedah. Which means to say that we are asking in the schus of Avram. What does it mean in the schus of Avram? It means without Avram we wouldn't be anything. But he set the path, and because of the fact that he taught us not to be able to overcome the emotion, the most powerful emotion, kavashas rachamov, lasas ritzonchlo, to do that which is rational and which God's chachma dictates. So that's why God should remember Bar Yisrael, which means that that is what we have. We have the ideas that we receive because of Avraham Avinu. So if you wouldn't say that, it would be a false pretense. And before God, Zechariah, why? Dessert. So and it's full of demands that a person be totally honest and state which is true, which is not Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, we wouldn't be anything. That's
That's what Moshe Menit says in Dvar. That's the Moshe Menit in Dvar. So that's really the concept of the Akedah. Yes. I don't have right now. It's really two psukim that contradict each other, and the third one gives an answer. The last thing I say about the Akedah, somebody has a very good question about the Akedah. The question it raises is as follows. It's very nice that when Avraham was about to shecht his son, and then he asks God, he says, what do you mean? You just told me how Leila Ola. By the way, Chazal say that he was in a dilemma. Because he was in a dilemma. Because the dilemma was, as you said to me, and now you say how Leila Ola. That's not possible. So the world understands it to be like, it's physically impossible. There's something deeper there. You see, you take a look at in the Akedah. So what happened? So God told them, Al Kishkach Yom Chalana. Okay, the Malach told them, means revelation. He had Nevuah. Malach means Nevuah. So Nevuah, it's not supposed to. So, what was the next thing? Next thing it says, Vayisu Einav Vayar Vine Ayel Acha Nechaz Basvach Pekarna. So he saw the aisle, and Vayelach Avram Vayikachas Ayel Tachas Berach. Vayelel Ayel Tachas Berach. What do you have to have sex here for? What's the reason? Very question. That was Chatzkel Luchman. Luchman, you know, one gave the Shem Yishir.
Yeah.
Excellent question. Very good. A neighbor of mine, Chatzkel Luchman, he just moved into Vast next one. He's a Talmud Chacham from Lakewood. So he asked this question. Excellent question. So why do you have to do that for? So it's an interesting thing. You see, the dilemma that Avraham Avinu had was really an intellectual. It wasn't so much a problem of how's God going to work this out. It's not our concern how God's going to work it. But God in the Chaim Mason so he can work it out somehow. But that's not the problem. The problem was, yesterday you said, Kibi Yitzchak Yitar L'Chazorah, which means what? Which means that the only way that there will ever be a system that has the true ideas is through Yitzchak, because it must be that the people must relate to the others. Without the others, there's not going to be any emotional tie. Okay, so it's not going to work. So that was the dilemma. Yesterday you said Kibi Yitzchak Yitar L'Chazorah. The only way to have Klal Yisrael is through my offspring, through a direct relationship. And the forefather has to be the founder. It has to be the same person as the same identity as the forefather. You understand? The one that is the philosopher has to also be the progenitor. That's the idea. So it must be Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So he says, and now you say Halel Ola. So how could it be? Only one theory could be right. Now you say Halel Ola, which means it's not necessary. It's not that he's going to have God change his mind. I mean, you see that the others were always by Yit, by Yaakov, it says, even though God gave him Avtacha, so still in all he was still afraid. Because Avtacha, so not so easy to understand how Avtachas take place, and how they work out. That doesn't mean that wasn't the Kasha. Kasha was, theoretically it doesn't work out. Either it's necessary for the nation to be identified, Avraham was saying to be identified with me, or if not, then that idea is wrong. So that was Avram's original idea. The original idea was he went around with the people and he was trying to teach the people, and he had a tremendous following. But God said, no, that's no good, that's temper. The real following is going to be only from Klal Yisrael. So it's a sociological idea. One is true, the other is true. Which one's right? So then, when he saw that Yitzchak was not going to be sacrifices in Olah, so then he said, what it means is that it will be through me, and that's the only way that part is wrong. So he took an aisle. And he did shechita. He was makriv the ayol tachas bino, because Chazal say that was makom. Chazal say shere posuk makom amigdash. So he says, so it will be through me. So therefore, let me be makriv this aisle, so whenever they do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, the idea of the akedah will always be there. And the Rambam says, in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the Rambam says the following. He says, HaMizbeach Mekomo Mechuvam B'yosef, Perek Shem Yoch Beis HaBchira. That is very exact, very precise, where the Mizbeach is. Vein Meshanin Osom Mekomo L'Olam. You never change it. Shenema Zem Mizbach L'Olam Yisrael. And in the next sentence he says, Ubamigdosh nekad Yitzchak Avinu, Shenema, Alech Lecho Al Har HaMoriah. You see? So the Akedah was on that spot. So the first carbon, that's what Avraham Avinu says. He says, now I see. He says, the idea really was that there should be identification with me. So therefore, what he did was, he took the ayah, he was makriv it, so the Kohen Gadol should know, whenever they makriv karbonos, they should think of the the Akedah. And it sounds like a drusha, but the truth of the matter is, it's an open pasuk. Why? Because it says like this. It says, Vayelach Avram, Vayish Avram, Vayishan, Vayarin, Alach, Anachas, Basach, Bekanav, Vayelach Avram, Vayikach, Asa'ayo, Vayaleo, Va'ola, Tachas, Beno, Vayikra Avram, Shem, HaMakom, Ahu, Adoshem Shem, Yireh. Asher Yom HaYom, Bahar Hashem, Yireh. That's what I'll say. Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yom HaYom, Bahar Hashem Yireh. Today, it means that this is the place that will be the Mikdash. That's the Bahar Hashem Yireh, that God reveals himself on this Har. So he realized this was an opportunity, that since the first theory was correct, that he has an opportunity here to do an action which will forever relate Klal Yisrael to this event at the of the Akedah. See? And that was, and that's the pasuk. Hashem Yom HaYom, what does Hashem HaYom means in the future? Hashem HaYom means, it means after the Mikdash. Hashem Yom HaYom Bahar Hashem Yireh. It was Nevuah basically saying. Hashem Yireh, Hashem God will see, or eventually he will do something. Hashem Yom HaYom Bahar Hashem Yireh. Today, well, I think it's in Rashi. Asher Yom HaYom Sheyomru L'mei HaDoros Olav Bahar Hashem Yehua HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yamo. That's the base of Midrash. That's the Midrash. HaYom HaYom Masidim. See? Okay. Yep. So and then we're Medesh Ered Hashem Yireh Akeda Zu L'Sloach L'Yisrael B'chol Shana L'Atzilam and Apronius. That's basically he took the opportunity, he saw the ideas. That's why you say in Zechronos, you mention the Akedah. All right.